Welcome to another hour of the Andy Slater Show on this Thursday, December 15th. Not only is it a Thursday, it is getaway day, at least for me. I am in South Florida right now doing the show, but tomorrow is a travel day. No, I am not going to Buffalo. Why in the world would I want to do that? Even though supposedly they have the best chicken wings, right? But no, I've never even been to Buffalo, and I don't know, I really don't care to go to Buffalo. Not this weekend. I am headed somewhere way more exciting, and that would be
Vegas!
Vegas, baby! Vegas!
That's where I am going tomorrow, so I am using tomorrow as a travel day, and I will be back with all of you again on Monday, and I do plan to do the show Monday from Las Vegas. This has really been a fun week. I love this time of the year, the holidays right around the corner. 10 days until Santa is going to be flying around giving away presents to kids. Hanukkah starts this weekend. Today is my birthday. It is just a great time of the year, and I've had a fun week. Tuesday, I did the show from the poker room at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. The Slater Scoops poker tournament, that was Tuesday night. And I won my own poker tournament, the inaugural Slater Scoops tournament at the Hard Rock. I'm going to raise my hand. Yes, I got first place in my own tournament. That is next level stuff. Even though I had so many comments coming on social media and friends sending me voice memos saying, oh, something's up.
Oh, what a f***ing scam. We all know this is rigged.
Whatever. The investigation is complete, and I am still the winner of my own poker tournament. Now, I hope to take that momentum of playing so well at the Hard Rock with me to Vegas, where I am going to be playing in the World Poker Tour's $2 million guaranteed tournament. I'll be playing in that on Saturday. So I'll be watching the Dolphins and Bills on all of the televisions, because that's the only relevant game on Saturday night, any sport. Come on, it's the Dolphins and Bills. I'll be watching it right there while I'm playing poker. Vegas time, it'll be about 5 o'clock. Totally cool with me. Probably have a dinner break about then, too. So I'm really looking forward to playing cards at the Wynn, watching the Dolphins and Bills, and anytime I'm in Vegas, it's a great time. But this time of the year, here in December, I take a look, even though it doesn't matter, it's December, it could be any month. I take a look at the sports book to see some interesting odds. What could I place some wagers on? I always enjoy looking at that entire board. So I'll do that. I'll play cards. I'll enjoy the weather. It's going to be very nice in Vegas. I'll enjoy the food. Everything that Las Vegas has to offer. But my main goal is I am going out there to win big in this World Poker Tour tournament, which has a $2 million guaranteed prize pool. And they're going to be having $2 million and $3 million tournaments come to the Hard Rock yet again next month. So it's a great poker partnership that I have with the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. And for those of you who didn't make it out on Tuesday night, the next one is going to be Tuesday night, January 10th. So put that in your phone. Sometimes I would say mark it on your calendar, but just put it in your phone. Nobody's marking anything on a calendar unless you're some big-time office person. And on your desk, you got one of them big calendars like an attorney or something. But I guess attorneys probably put it in their computer or on their phone nowadays. Nobody really uses a calendar. I think the only time people get a calendar is for an excuse. Like, oh, yeah, babe, I'm going to get this Hooters calendar. Like, you're not getting the Hooters calendar to see what day of the week it is. You're getting the Hooters calendar So every day when you wake up, you could look at... Girls. The only problem is you got to look at the same one 28 to 31 times a month. And I know what some of you are saying right now. You're like, Slater, I'm looking at the same girl about 30 times a month without a calendar. I'm not like you going to Medellin and seeing difference. Girls. I was going to say friends, but okay. So I checked in a little while ago with the National Weather Service, not in Vegas where I am going, because I already know it's going to be beautiful there. But I checked in with the National Weather Service in Buffalo. One of their forecasters emailed me back. And I tweeted out something earlier this morning, which still stands true, although it may get even worse. At least 9 inches of snow is expected in Buffalo by Saturday night's Dolphins-Bills game. That is according to the National Weather Service. A winter storm coming in. They've got watches up in certain areas. They've got warnings up. Of course, it's going to be cold, but a lot of snow. The National Weather Service says a significant amount of snowfall will take place on Saturday night. What is that going to do? Everyone thinks, including myself, oh gosh, that's not good for the Miami Dolphins. Buffalo, they're used to playing in that stuff. This is not good if you're a fan of the Miami Dolphins. But will it be that much of a problem for this Dolphins team? Again, immediately you think of course this is going to be a problem. You don't even have to mention snow. You just say, hey, the Dolphins are going to Buffalo in the middle of December. And you're like, forget it. You know it's going to be cold. Maybe it'll be snowing. But forget it. Even without snow, forget it. So heavy snowfall Saturday night. If you're already saying forget it about the Miami Dolphins in Buffalo, maybe, just maybe, this could work into their favor? Could it? There's a couple ways to look at this, and I want to look at this game every single way possible because tomorrow is a travel day for me. Like I said, I'm headed to Vegas tomorrow. So you got me today, and then you'll get me on Monday. But I really want to get into this Dolphins game this hour. However, I can't until the hour officially begins.
It's time to shuffle up and deal.
It's very interesting to see how Mike McDaniel is handling this time of adversity. And make no mistake about it, this is a time where the Miami Dolphins head football coach is being questioned more than he's ever been before. And it's not just being questioned by talk show hosts. Mike McDaniel's being questioned by pretty much everyone. Remember, we had the Tua concussion stuff. And when that was going on, people were questioning Mike McDaniel. I think most reasonable people understood, though, look, there's limits to what a coach can do. But he was questioned then. He faced adversity then. Right now, though, he's never been questioned more. When it comes to the Dolphins' last two losses where Tua has looked bad and the team has looked completely lost on offense, it's on Mike McDaniel. The questions aren't about how he handled the West Coast trip and staying out there. The questions about him are, is he any good? Can he win big games? Is he as smart as we all said he was? Now, yesterday, the video that I saw coming out of the facility in Miami Gardens where they were doing a jog through, Mike McDaniel seemed loose. That's the vibe I got from him. Now, bear in mind, media members are only allowed to take video of a very limited window at the beginning of whatever walkthrough or practice they're doing. But the video that I saw, Mike McDaniel, he was bopping around. He was dancing to some hip hop. He was wearing a t-shirt that said, "I wish it were colder." The argument that Mike McDaniel is making is however cold it is for the Miami Dolphins on Saturday night, and it is supposed to be cold and it is supposed to be snowing. His argument is the cold temperatures and the snow, it's not going to be on only one sideline. It's going to be just as cold and snowing just as much on the Bills sideline that it is on the Dolphins sideline. Therefore, Mike McDaniel is saying you cannot use the weather as an excuse if you play poorly. I think he's trying to Jedi mind trick his team against the conditions for Saturday night. Basically saying cold, it's a state of mind. So however his players perceive the conditions in Buffalo, however they want to think about them, that's how they're going to be. If they think of snow and cold as, hey, this is awesome, well, then the conditions are going to be awesome. That's essentially what he's saying on his shirt, "I wish it were colder." And I think there's something to this. I think the no excuses mindset is a good thing. I think saying, look, we're going to win or lose this football game based on how we play. We're going to go into this game and we need the mindset of the weather doesn't matter. It's just based on how we play. So if we man up and we go out there and play hard, I don't care what the temperature is. I don't care if it's snowing. We just need to go out there and play hard. That's kind of what Mike McDaniel is saying. And you know what? It's really not that complicated, right? Because that's what you should be doing anytime. You should be going out there playing hard to get that W. You should be going all out. Weather should not make a difference, but it can make a difference not only in reality because of the way plays are called and what you could do on the field. But a lot of this, what Mike McDaniel is trying to say, is in your head. And if you get that out of your head, if you look at it a different way, I wish it was 5 degrees instead of 15. I wish it was snowing harder. What Mike McDaniel's trying to say is if you look at whatever conditions you're facing as a positive and not a negative, that's going to help your team on the field. You might be thinking right now, hearing me say what I just said, Slater, what the heck are you talking about? Is this some lesson we're getting from a psychologist? This is what Mike McDaniel is trying to do. And I don't know if it's going to work or not. This could be something where in the locker room, in the meeting rooms, you're thinking one thing in your head to get mentally prepared. Like, I don't care about the snow. I don't care about the temperature being in the teens. But once you step on that field, that first quarter begins. Now you're facing reality. So I don't know if any of this mental stuff during the week is going to stay with this team in their mind when they get on the field and the game begins. There are technical things that the Dolphins could do to prepare for a game like this. It doesn't have to be, okay, just go suck it up and play in whatever conditions are out there. I know Barry Jackson of the Miami Herald was tweeting a lot about this yesterday. For instance, Tua said that he went to visit his brother, who is the starting quarterback for the University of Maryland. He went to visit him to work on throwing a cold football. And that was inspired by a poor performance last year against the Tennessee Titans. And that Titans game was a pivotal one. And Tua was terrible in it. I understood why the Dolphins stayed in Los Angeles last week after they were playing in the Bay Area. They wanted to just stay on the same time zone, not have to fly back and forth, which, again, really isn't all that big of a deal. That's what Mike McDaniel wanted to do. He wanted to keep his team together for the entire week on the West Coast. But this week, what have the Dolphins done to prepare for what they're going to face Saturday night other than the Bills? And that would be the elements, the weather conditions. I'm sort of 50-50 here. Because I do believe there is a mental component to playing in that atmosphere. When you're playing in temperatures in the teens and it's snowing, like big time snowing, I do think there is a mind game involved. But there's a lot more to it. Receivers, they got to be used to catching the football in the cold and the snow. The quarterback's got to be able to throw the football in the cold and the snow. Guys have to be used to running when they can barely feel their legs. It's a lot. The good news, if there's any good news, players in the National Football League are from everywhere. So while Dolphins players play in Miami, they're the Miami Dolphins. It's not like all of the guys are from South Florida. You have plenty of guys who have experience in these type of conditions throughout their career or during college. So the hope for Dolphins fans is that this team figures it out. And I say that for the fans. Because the team, the players, and the coaching staff, they're not thinking, oh, I hope we figure this out. No, they think they've already got it figured out and they're going to win the football game. I don't think there's many Dolphins fans that believe that. So your hope is that this team has figured it out because they probably already think that they have. We will find out on Saturday night. I would imagine, based on everything I've heard and read about Mike McDaniel and the level of detail that he goes through in his preparation for every single football game, I would think he's got some cold weather and snow contingencies. I don't know what they are, but maybe more than a t-shirt. I know he had some crowd noise ones because the Bills Mafia, they get after it. It is going to be loud. It is going to be cold. It is going to be snowing. It is going to be a hostile environment. And I don't think the Miami Dolphins have a tougher road game this entire season than this one coming up Saturday night. You can go back to any single game they've played this year, road or home. You can go look at the rest of the season. Three games after this one, this is the toughest game they will have all season long. The easiest thing that the Dolphins can do to fix like 789 of their problems at the exact same time, you go out there Saturday night, you know what I'm going to say. Run the football. That's it. Establish the run. If you can establish the run, especially in the snow, and given how one-dimensional this team has been for the past few weeks, if you can get Raheem Mostert going, you let the linemen eat a little. And that is going to keep the Bills honest. That will keep the Buffalo Bills from copycatting the 49ers and the Chargers. The issue is, the Bills have no reason to respect the Miami Dolphins' rushing attack. They have no reason to respect it unless the Dolphins give them a reason. The Dolphins have not given them a reason yet. The only way they'd give them a reason is if they start doing something Saturday night. The offensive line has got to be better. The running backs have to hit those holes quicker and more explosively. And if the Dolphins can get that going, even a little, the chances of Tua being the best version of himself, as long as the Dolphins have the running game going, Tua's chances go way, way up. I want to talk more about Tua and something that just floors me about him. And I'll get to that in just a moment. You guys should get to Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, where you could be surrounded by gorgeous girls, 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 girls. Forget about cold conditions. Oh, you're going to be all warmed up when the beautiful women at Dean's Gold surround you right after you walk in the doors. Dean's Gold is the ultimate gentleman's club for a reason. That is because they have girls who come from all over the world. So many different countries are represented at Dean's Gold. You will have a fantastic time. And you can go to Dean's Gold any day you want. They're open 7 days a week from 8 p.m. all the way until 6 in the morning. Dean's Gold, the ultimate gentleman's club, is located on the northeast corner of Northeast 163rd Street and Biscayne Boulevard. That's in North Miami Beach. Have yourself a great Thursday night or even early Friday morning. Surround yourself with gorgeous women who come from all over the world. There's only one place in South Florida you could do that. Only one building. It is the ultimate gentleman's club, Dean's Gold. It's so bizarre to me how loyal Tua's fans are. What a fan base he has. So the Pro Bowl voting, it came out again yesterday, and Tua is still number one. Out of all positions, Tua's number one. I think that's bizarre considering how bad his last two performances were. And there's no sugarcoating it. You can't just say, oh, he was off. Eh, he wasn't all right, or he was just decent. No, he was bad, like really bad, two consecutive games. One of them was on national television. So Tua goes on Sunday Night Football. He plays terrible, like beyond terrible. He would have had to do better to be terrible. And then the Pro Bowl voting comes out, and again, he's number one. Tua has been anything but the best player in the league the past 2 weeks. But that just goes to show you the fan base of the Dolphins and the fan base of just Tua. It's off the charts. You look at all of the quarterbacks that were taken, or at least we'll say the top four quarterbacks that were taken in that 2020 draft. If we held the 2020 draft tomorrow, let's just say there's a redraft, and you've got Tua, Burrow, Hurts, and Herbert. What order are you taking them in tomorrow? Who's going first? I would say there could be a debate about number one, and the debate would be between Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts. If I was a general manager picking tomorrow, redrafting from 2020, it's tough, isn't it? I think I would take Jalen Hurts. It's Jalen Hurts or Joe Burrow. I mean, that's it. One of those guys goes number one. Obviously, the other would go number two. So then you're left with three and four, and I know where Tua stands on this one. Tua would be number four. Hurts, looking at an MVP. Burrow, he's been to a Super Bowl. Herbert, we know the arm he's got. Big, strong arm. We just saw what he did to Miami on Sunday night. Tua, he's having his best season, but still, I take him fourth out of those four if I'm drafting tomorrow. It's a dang good draft class. It's very impressive that we can even have this fun type of conversation. And what makes it more interesting is you have four guys who are well-established. They're all franchise QBs. Herbert is the Chargers guy. Burrow is the Bengals guy. Hurts is the Eagles guy. And yes, Tua is the Dolphins guy. So all of them are going to be doing this for the next 10 to 15 years. Unless, of course, Tua winds up not being the Dolphins guy. It's just so up and down with him, isn't it? So crazy. We can never figure things out. I think they have this figured out, but I say think. Tannehill went on for 7 years, but why always the Miami Dolphins? If they win Saturday night in Buffalo, everything changes, doesn't it? Especially if Tua's part of the reason they win. I think for them to win, they're going to need to really establish that running game, as I was saying. But if Tua has a big game Saturday night in those type of conditions, wintry conditions, then he's definitely going to be leading the Pro Bowl voting yet again the next time it comes out. But this debate, it's going to go on for a long time with all these quarterbacks. Heck, if I asked you when the Dolphins were 8-3, where these quarterbacks would be selected if you redrafted them, Tua would come before Justin Herbert. Some people might have said he would be the second quarterback selected if you redrafted him right now. I really hope for South Florida purposes, for Dolphins fans, for show purposes, and also for the sake of just watching the game on Saturday, I hope Mike McDaniel just says, F it. I hope he says that in the sense of, you know what, nobody thinks we can win. It's cold, even though I wish it were colder. It's snowing. Let's just throw absolutely everything we've got at the Bills and see what happens. Because what's the alternative? Play conservatively and still lose? I like the idea of just going all in on this one. Fake punts, blitzes, do crazy things. Just take chances. Have fun out there and try to win the game. Because, again, if you play conservatively, you think you're going to get a victory in Buffalo? Reality is the AFC East, that's the Bills now. That's their division. So now they're playing for home field. They want the bye week. They want the road to the Super Bowl in the AFC to go through Buffalo. That's the Bills' motivation, and it's a good one. For Miami, sure, the division is still technically in play, but as I see it, the Dolphins have got 4 games left. They're 8-5. Saturday night, most likely a loss. That's 8-6. Then the Dolphins get Aaron Rodgers on Christmas. Then they have a trip to New England. And Bill Belichick, he's going to be chomping at the bit for the opportunity to expose the weaknesses that the Dolphins have been showing everyone around the league lately. And then the Dolphins finish at home against the Jets. So they got 4 games left, and none of them are gimmies. 3 are divisional games. And the other, it's going up against a future Hall of Famer who is trying to will his club into the playoffs despite having a bad record right now. I am sure Aaron Rodgers is going to try to go all out on Christmas Day. So that's nowhere near a gimme. The Dolphins, Saturday night, not only have to do something different offensively, but on the defensive side of the football, gosh, you know the Bills are going to be a problem for him. Obviously, Josh Allen is so good. He's going to make some throws. He's going to take some chances, and that's where the Dolphins' D has got to do something. Remember what they used to do under Brian Flores, come up with some crazy schemes? They haven't done much of any of that this year. The Dolphins' defense, they got to be opportunistic. If Josh Allen tries to force something and makes a throw that's regrettable, the Dolphins have got to make him pay. You cannot drop any would-be interceptions. You cannot have a blown coverage. You've got to have sound, solid defense because the playmakers on the Bills, we know they're really good. Stephon Diggs is that primary target. The tight end Dawson Knox, he's good. Devin Singletary from FAU, he's good. They got talent all over the field, and they're well coached. There's a reason the Bills are about to lock up the division, and everyone in it is above 500, and they're still going to lock it up. Saturday night's game is going to be the most difficult Dolphins game all season long. And right now, I know you could say your next game is always going to be your most important this time of the year. If they lose, they'll still be okay, but think about what the storyline would be, what the narrative would be if the Miami Dolphins come out of Buffalo Saturday night or whenever they're able to leave on that plane Sunday morning, Sunday afternoon, and they're flying back to Fort Lauderdale, because that's where they fly into, with a victory. What a different story we will be talking about on Monday when I'm doing the show from Las Vegas. Here's something you could do in Vegas or in our own backyard. Wager on the horse races going on at Gulfstream Park. Live, exciting race action and turf racing is going on right now at Gulfstream Park in Hollandale Beach. You could head on out to Gulfstream Park just like I do and go to their trackside restaurant, Ten Palms. That's their trackside restaurant. I go there. I get a table. I watch the races live right in front of me. I have a fantastic meal. And of course, I'm going to make some wagers. You can make some wagers too for as little as 10 or 20 cents. I see those bets pay thousands of dollars all of the time. Head on out to Gulfstream Park any chance you get. Live racing going on every Wednesday through Sunday right now. Turf racing is back too in our own backyard in Hollandale Beach at Gulfstream Park. My 13th annual Football Pick'em Challenge is going on right now on my site, SlaterScoops.com. If you've got the most winners against the spread for the week, you're going to get a $100 gift card to Joe's Stone Crab in Miami Beach. If you have the most winners after week 18, you and a guest will fly away to Costa Rica, all thanks to the Costa Rica Dental Team. We've got a football game tonight, San Francisco and Seattle. My picks, they're already in, and I've been doing very well this year. It is free to play. Make sure you're signed up and signed in and get in your selections because every single game counts. Head on over to SlaterScoops.com and make sure you're part of my 13th annual Football Pick'em Challenge. Are we going to be able to once again legally wager here in the state of Florida? There was some news that came out yesterday, and I want to have a discussion about that news, so I will in just a little bit. First, though, I've spoken so much about the Dolphins, and I could speak so much more about them, and I don't think anybody would kvetch. Nobody in the audience would complain. I want to bring up the Miami Heat for just a few moments, because I was watching that Heat game last night. That is now two road wins in a row. That's correct, right? Two road wins in a row. And that's the first time all season the Heat have done that. The Heat last night, they had a huge lead and then they blew it, but they wound up getting a win at OKC. And Tyler Hero, he was the star of the night. 35 points, the game-winning jumper, and it was really well executed with 25 seconds or so left. The Miami Heat, they threw the ball to Tyler in the backcourt. He walked it up. He drained the clock to about five and then drained that dagger. It was really well done. Something I have noticed about this team, and I saw it again last night, and I feel like I've been saying this since the moment he came to Miami, Victor Oladipo. I have noticed that he's back to playing hoops. Slowly but surely, he is back to playing hoops. The area where he jumps off the screen already to me, it's on defense. And it's the end of game situations. It's really good to add another stopper, another guy who is a problem for the opposing offense. I promise you, there is not a coach in the NBA who looks over and sees Oladipo in there and thinks, oh, now we got him. This guy's washed. And the reason they don't think that is because on defense, he's nowhere near washed. Victor Oladipo can be a valuable contributor, at least on the defensive end for this team. The offense, I'm not saying he can't be, but I think that's going to take some more time. I don't know how much time Jimmy Butler needs off. He didn't play again last night. First night of a back-to-back DNP rest. Jimmy is supposed to be this engine, an engine that's always going. That's his superpower. The ability to impose his will to be really dominant. And yet, one night, he's taken over and hitting shot after shot at the end of the game. And then the next night, he's sitting on the bench with a big face coffee hat on. I know this happens across the entire league. Teams want to rest their stars, get them ready for playoff time, but the Miami Heat aren't exactly sitting in the prime position for the playoffs at this moment. So at what point does desperation and professional pride, when does that take over where Jimmy says, look, I don't want to be in the play-in game. I want to win, and I want to win right now. When does that happen? I would hope sometime soon. When is sports wagering going to happen again here in the state of Florida? Remember the Hard Rock Sportsbook app? It was up for about a month. I gave you the
Slater's scoop
on when it went live. When is it going to go live again? I know so many of you want to know. Let's discuss sports wagering in Florida, when it will be coming back. I'll have that conversation with you in just a moment. Some of you are having conversations with your significant other or a family member about your teeth and your mouth. You need dental work done, but you can't get it done in South Florida because it just costs way too much money. That's why I tell you all of the time about the Costa Rica Dental Team. They will save you 50 to 70% when compared to U.S. dental prices. That is a fortune you will save by visiting the Costa Rica Dental Team. I have been to the Costa Rica Dental Team many times myself, so I can tell you firsthand. The work and the staff at the Costa Rica Dental Team, absolutely top-notch. Maybe you need crowns, implants, veneers, whatever dental work you need done, the Costa Rica Dental Team will take great care of you. Check them out for yourself. Visit CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. That's CostaRicaDentalTeam.com. Inquire about their pricing, and then you could start planning your Costa Rica dental vacation later today. Well, you know this is a topic that I love, and I know a lot of you love it too. Sports wagering. We had it in Florida for like 3 weeks. Is it coming back sometime soon? The man who's all over this all of the time, Daniel Wallach. He's actually based here in South Florida. He's a gaming law and sports betting attorney. You've probably seen his tweets. He joins us right now on the Andy Slater Show. Daniel, I saw your tweets yesterday. I've seen them for the last year. Sometimes we're not fans of them because it's saying we're not getting sports betting. But I liked what you were saying yesterday. What's the latest with what's going on?
Well, first of all, I want to preface this by saying don't shoot the messenger.
Yeah, barely.
I had some threatening, you know, people drop into my DMs over the years. But I think it's really, really important not to be a Pollyanna about some of the, legal proceedings. That's important to sort of break down in plain English what's really going on in these court proceedings. And I think a year ago, I correctly forecasted that the tribe's gaming compact would be shot down in federal court, and along with it, sports mm-hmm. betting would go by the wayside. And that prediction turned out to be true.
Yep.
Yesterday, I think I began to see a changing an about face. This three-judge panel before the District of Columbia U.S. Court of Appeals seemed to give some credence to the Seminole tribe's arguments that the compact is permissible, or at least not prohibited, under federal law. And the lead judge, who was asking most of the questions of West Flagler, seemed to be siding with the Seminole tribe's position. And one of the other judges, a President George Herbert Walker Bush appointee, was leaning towards the West Flagler position. So on a three-judge panel, this may come down to a tiebreaker, and the tie-breaking vote would be cast by an appointee of President Joe Biden, whose agency decided that this compact did not violate federal law. So if you're going to take any stab at forecasting how judges are going to rule based upon their political affiliations, this had to have been a very good turn of events for the Seminole Tribe.
Let me just step in here for 1 second, because we've only got about a minute and a half left. I could talk with you on this topic for like 3 hours. When do you think, if this did come back, when do you think that would happen?
Okay, the court's decision is going to come down in the February to April of 2023 period. If the matter is reversed, if the decision is reversed, you could have sports betting potentially as early as the spring of 2023. But hold on for a second.
Okay.
The losing party on this appeal is going to take the matter up. As long as the parties are litigating this case in the federal courts of appeal or the United States Supreme Court, there's not likely to be a relaunch of sports betting in Florida. So based upon my projection of timelines here, it may take up to 3-4 months to issue a decision, maybe another 6 months on rehearing. And if this case goes to the Supreme Court, ultimately, this could go carry over into 2024. But let's assume that the district court's order is reversed and Wes Flagler doesn't take an appeal, or its appeal for rehearing is denied by the D.C. Circuit. You might have sports betting in Florida in time for the NFL regular season in 2023 by September.
Well, I know what my audience is rooting for. That's for sure.
Be careful what you wish for. Do you want to have one sports book option, which would be the Seminole Tribe of Florida, or do you want to wait for a level playing field, have more competition, have FanDuel, DraftKings, MGM, Caesars, Wynn, Jake Paul's, you know, sports betting company? Do you want to have a menu of options?
Go ask a gambler, Daniel, if they want to wait.
I would really want that Lexus car lease, but the lease prices are $200-$300 per month higher today than they will be in a year or two. Am I willing to wait for the Lexus? I guess I don't have an automobile addiction.
See,
or a compulsion to drive, but you got to live with this. The compact, Andy, is for 30 years.
I hear you.
Which will outlast most of our gambling careers, if not lives.
Daniel Wallach, again, sports betting attorney, all about the gaming law, based here in South Florida. Follow him at Wallach Legal. Daniel, I really appreciate the time. I wish we had more, but we'll chat again sometime soon.
My pleasure as always, Andy.
All right, that is all the time I have for this Thursday afternoon. No show tomorrow, a travel day for me. I'll be back with you on Monday from Las Vegas. For now, I'm Andy Slater, and I'll see you later.